You guys in this room, being real estate investors and being part of the RAIN network, do not have the luxury of playing it by ear and shooting from the hip, quite frankly, in my personal opinion. In my opinion, if you're going to go out there, you need to have a good plan of action. And again, this is totally consistent with what Don's teaching you anyway, so that's why I like talking to a group like this. First thing you need to do is make sure you clarify your goals. You know, I've talked to a couple of people on the bus yesterday. One of the things I do right now is I walk people through a creative visualization process. Don, we might do that later, right? The creative visualization process. But what we do, what I want to do is I want to see mentally, where do you see yourself in the year 2010? Why are you involved in real estate? I used the joke last time I was here. You know, a guy goes into the hardware store and he wants the drill. It's not the drill that he wants. It's the hole in the wall, right? But if he forgets it, he could end up buying a sandblaster because it was on sale, because he lost focus when he went into the hardware store and got distracted by the sale sign. He forgot to remember why he was there. And the problem is, I see a lot of people buying real estate. Again, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about across the country and people. I work exclusively with real estate investors. Most common mistake I see is they go into the hardware store and they forget what their purpose was in the beginning. One of the best things you guys do is create that personal belief. And I love that because it keeps you focused. In my personal opinion, once you determine your personal beliefs, once you determine the reason why you were on that bus yesterday, it wasn't for the free coffee and donuts. It's because you have a certain end result you're trying to accomplish, and this is the process that's going to facilitate the accomplishment of an end result. Does that make sense? You guys with me? Okay. So focus on that final destination. As far as I'm concerned, once you determine the final destination, then you take a snapshot of where you are currently, you find out what your final destination is, you can immediately identify the obstacles, and then work your way back to today and create a solution and a game plan that's going to remove the obstacles or prevent them before they happen. And that's what I call the five-year plan process, right? So let me give you an example of that. And I equate this to a chess game, okay? How many people here have ever played chess? Okay, good. You'll understand this. Okay, so if you're playing chess, two things I know about chess, and I'm not a very good player. One thing I know, that the guy that always beats me is the guy that can think three moves in advance. Right? Chess players, am I right? Okay. So think of it this way. From today forward, I want you guys to think about it as you're playing chess against the bank. Okay? Now, what are your odds of succeeding if I said to you, I'm going to give you all their moves in advance so you guys can study the moves before they happen? Do you think you're going to have a better chance of winning? Okay. Well, here's the good news. Today, you can't claim ignorance anymore because I'm going to tell you they're checkmate. They've got two major checkmate moves. They're not very complicated. They have two moves. They're very effective, but they'll checkmate you on two issues. All we need to do is, we know their move ahead of time, just create your portfolio in such a way that you're not going to get checkmate. Does that sound fair? Thank you very much. Number two, when you're doing this, right, and you're putting this together, always remember something. As you create your portfolio, when you move a player on a chess game, when you move a player on the board, it changes the interrelationship of all the other players. Does that make sense? Even if you're not a chess player, you think you can understand that. So as you move forward, and if you, for example, if my clients are working with me and they say, yeah, oh, by the way, we sold the property. Oh, stop. You just moved a player. You got to let me know, because this changes the interrelationship of the other things. So it's all got, every your move's got to be done strategically, and you got to understand three moves in advance. And I can guarantee you, you're not going to have a problem with your real estate investing. So let's say, sorry, I'll go back here. Let's take this couple. They got a $400,000 house paid off, paid in full, free and clear. I think that's like most of you guys in the room, right? Ah, yeah. Well, maybe in Vancouver, this is like a $900,000 house with a $400,000 mortgage. By the way, I got to tell you, we're jaded in Vancouver. I was in going around yesterday going, you kidding me? The prices are that cheap? Oh, my God. Give me 10. You know. And you these people actually have jobs? They could go like half an hour to go to work? That's amazing. I mean, Whitby just blew me away. You know, there's actually jobs in there. And the prices are still under $500,000. You know, Vancouver, the price is over $500,000 and they have no job. There's nothing around them within an hour's drive that can actually provide them a job. It's just, grow ups, yeah. Yeah, wait. Once the grow ups hit Whitby, the prices are going to go through the roof. So here's a typical investor. He's got 10 to 17 properties, want to make $5,000 a month. Would you agree that someone like this has to have a game plan? Okay. Because again, your reason for buying real estate isn't because you want to go buy the real estate. It's because you want that $5,000 a month passive income that's going to provide you what? Whatever it is. For each of you, it's going to be different. But you need to learn what that is. You need to know what it is and then put the game plan. So here's the two major obstacles. Here's the two checkmate moves that the banks are going to have. Number one, they're going to nail you on your debt service ratios. Right? And this is, again, quick review from what I covered last month. They're going to nail you on your debt service ratios because they're going to say, oh, wow, we got this 40% TDS and 32% GDS and da-da-da-da-da. And they're going, sorry, you don't qualify. Okay? And you're saying, but. And if you get over that, they're going to say, oh, and we require 25% down. And you say, well, I've got $50,000 here. And Mr. Banker, my goal is to have 17 properties in a year and a half or next 3 months, whichever comes first. Let me think about that. You know, what's the typical reaction of the lender? I don't think so. Anyway, so we created some solutions for that. Number one, with your debt service ratios, we can look at doing 100% rental offsets, and 100, I'll cover that in a second, or what we covered last month is the 1.1% rule. I'm not going to go through the 1.1% rule this time, so if you're not familiar with that, talk to me on the break, okay? And there is a handout that I didn't bring it this time, I handed it out last time, and I don't know if Don, if you have it on the website, seven down payment options. Yeah. It's actually, that's a cover article in the Western Investor this month for September, but I don't think they get that out here. Yeah. Okay, exactly. Rain exclusive. So there's a couple of things there. We'll cover that briefly. But first of all, let's take a look at the first challenge you're going to have. 100% rental offset is where you take 100% of the rental income into consideration, and the bank says, okay, you got $1,000 of rental income, and you got your mortgage, your taxes, and your condo fees or whatever add up to $1,000. So basically, it's a wash, right? And this is the most common thing that approach that the real estate investor has. Well, if I make $1,000 in rent and it costs me $1,000, what's the problem? The bank should be thrilled. Just a quick statistic, and I'm not asking you to empathize with the bank, but I am asking you to step in their shoes for a second. Statistically speaking, Canadians have a less than 1% default ratio on homes in which they live. We have one of the lowest default ratios in the world for people who live in their home with good credit. However, somewhere around 70% of all the mortgages that went into default last year were investment properties. So if you're a banker and somebody comes up and says, I want to buy 20 investment properties, and you don't show a lot of income, do you think they're going to have that warm, fuzzy feeling when they know their audit team says, oh, by the way. And another thing, again, you guys just have to be aware of this. And Don touched on this yesterday. Banks and CMHC are coming down on mortgage fraud for brokers and people like us like never before. They are out there on a witch hunt right now and to make sure that things are done on the up and up. Another reason why it's so good for me to be working with the groups like yours. And, you know, when we take all this into consideration, don't be surprised when you walk into the bank and you run into a little bit of flack or, you know, you don't get that warm, fuzzy feeling.
That's so another reason why never, ever, ever play in that gray area. I don't care who tells you that if you do this and you do that and you screw this system up and they'll never catch you anyway, right? Who's heard that before? Just sign this document. Everybody's signing it. Exactly. Everybody does it. It's a reason not to do that because they've doubled and tripled the number of investigators they've got and they're going to catch you. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, like I say, they're on a witch hunt, but that's also one of the reasons why I've personally been sitting down with presidents of banks and we've got them to give us exclusive deals that they're not offering to other brokering houses.